Welcome to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast, a show hosted by LeZero, the man of a thousand rants, and Wabbit, the fan favorite. This show details the latest news in the Rocket League scene, esports results, and tips and tricks on how to get better at the game, while sometimes they'll just take a random topic and see where it takes them. Thank you all for listening, and enjoy.
Hello and welcome back to the ASAP Weekly Rocket League podcast. For those of you who are new here, you've chosen a time to join.
If you're new here, this is the perfect time to get in.
This is both the perfect and the worst time. We are over our summer break. That is myself, LeZero is back with in your eardrums, in your ear patterns. Your wavelengths. This is what you can expect. You can expect me to just keep saying things that make me entertained, but nobody else. But you've downloaded this episode, and now you're here. I don't know if Wabs is entertained, but if he's even mildly entertained, then it's actually his fault because he encourages me.
Oh, I absolutely encourage you in the best way possible. That's why you're allowed to do so many tangents when I'm here.
Yes, sure. The other people that enable this despicable behavior are as follows. Our patrons, who are so awesome and continue to support us despite everything.
In spite of.
I have no spite in my heart.
I'm saying the patrons do.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Let's break it down here, okay? No, I found the thing. Zodiac 22, Team of Space, Chaos Maker, Space Bear, Frank, Awesome as Digital Toast Paint, Young Slug, and PK, thank you so much for your continued support. I'm a master of this, am I not, Wabs?
I actually did not know that you were looking for the list. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm so good at that. Like I am. I am so incredibly good at this.
On point. The moment you come back, it's been 2 months. Nobody would have ever thought. Nobody would have thought except for the thought of missing your voice.
And that's I usually like make the joke like that I'm currently looking for the list or whatever. I'm also worried about this podcast now because it says 1% uploaded, so I don't have no idea what that means.
Don't worry, that changed last week. It goes up and down.
Instead of going meta, I went like full broadcaster where I don't show you that there's a problem. Maybe this is the new me, okay? We're going to stop doing like the hyper meta ramblings, and it's just actually going to be clean episodes where you're like,
new school year,
polish? Polish? He comes back from Portugal and now he's polished.
Oh my god, who is this
Portuguese?
We're gonna lose all of our listeners because nobody asked for this.
Everyone's like, where's my ramblings? Like he kind of went corporate. Like I don't really get it. Okay, speaking of everything and denying everything that we talked about in the pre-show, there was something I wanted to mention on the pre-show, but I just thought I'd mention it to you because I think it's hilarious. Okay. So in Portugal, there's like, you know, that like a greeting where you like you kiss on the cheek, right? Like two kisses on the cheek. I saw the funniest thing. It was literally last night.
Ooh.
At midnight as I'm getting onto a train to fly away from Portugal. Where it was four people hanging out, but it's like dark in front of a train station. Okay. And so like these two guys trying to look cool, like come up or whatever. And then their two friends are there and they go up and they give these kisses on the cheek. Okay. Which is fine. But to an outside observer, it looked like two guys hitting on two girls. And they had synchronized their kisses on the cheek at the same time. And the girls were sitting on a bench, so they had to like lean in to do these kisses on the cheek that were customary. It was hilarious. That's my point. So I have a lasting memory for Portugal, and it's that, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a thug, you know, you gotta respect the culture. That's all I'm saying.
You gotta respect the cultural norms. That's it.
But it was the synchronized head movement, though, that really made me laugh. You know what I mean? Like, that, it would have been fine if they like once greeted or whatever, but it started with one guy doing the greeting, right? Mm-hmm. And then he went over to the next girl, and then the other guy joined in, and that's when the synchro happened.
Exactly the same.
And then the first guy moved out of the way, and then the second guy did. So it was like a pattern synchronized.
This is the first time I've really thought about this, but do people do that greeting like vastly differently? Like, can you tell who someone is based off that greeting? I genuinely wonder now, because it's like a wave or a handshake. We all do them semi uniquely, like somewhat. There's a somewhat uniqueness to each one. This is a Rocket League podcast, by the way. We all do.
Like I said, I'm polished now, so I already had a transition ready, and you completely ruined it. Continue.
I did. You're welcome. I'm going to continue with this thought. And because they like everybody just does that greeting in a somewhat unique way. Do people also do that kiss on the cheek in a unique, like individualized way?
I believe so, but you have to have practice. Like, if you've never done it before, it's just gonna be awkward every time. But mm-hmm. I feel if you have a rhythm to it, like for me, handshakes, I'm just trying to avoid you know that knuckle thing you do to people?
What?
Like as a joke when you're younger, if you're really mean, not the knuckle. It's like where the fingers and the hand attach. There's like that bone area.
The knuckle, yeah. Yeah.
And so like when you were a kid, you'd like to annoy people. You'd like go to, when you did a handshake, you like went to there and then you like did the weird movements just to, like mess with them. And people were like, oh,
rubbing the knuckle.
Yeah. 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 Like not the knuckle, but like the side area on both.
Yeah. With your thumb.
With your like thumb and your like bottom of your hand, and just to like annoy people.
That's like a very intimate thing. And it's honestly kind of fun.
No,
I never felt it as a weird thing.
No, this is 100%. Oh, this is a weird feeling. Don't do this to me. But okay. I'm learning so much. But
I'm not much of a handshaker, I'll be honest. I usually avoid them.
The point is, the only thing I try to avoid is a handshake is just giving the front of your fingers. Because like, if you do that by accident, then you got weak like noodle hand, okay? You got like
I weak noodle hand regardless, I'll be honest. It's not
No, but you want to at least get, you know, like a thumb crease into thumb crease, you know, then everything is fine. But if you only get like your front, your fingers, dude, your credibility goes down. Okay. You do not know what a firm handshake is. Okay.
As someone who doesn't know what a firm handshake is and doesn't enjoy firm handshakes, like I will actively not squeeze because I hate it.
No, you don't have to squeeze, but it's just like when you do the sign for L for loser, okay? Like those two things need to meet on the handshake, okay? That's all I'm saying, all right?
Yeah.
If you do that, everything else is fine. But if you don't do that, then they're going to do a handshake with just the front of your fingertips. And like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, that's just weird for the person, for everybody. It feels weird for you. It feels weird for them. It's just not good.
Well, they feel like they're shaking like a dog's paw, right?
Yeah.
And you just like lose any machismo that you have. Like you are no longer a man. Okay. Like, so you both lose. Okay. Cause the other person's like, I thought I was talking to a human and now they're very confused. And then you're like, that person 100% thinks less of me because of this bad handshake. And both of you are wrong. But
yes, you're both wrong. But I think if that happens as the person who's grabbing the fingers, I think if that happens, then the only way to escape it is to just kiss the fingers. Like that's the only way out.
Oh, you could also do the then you curl in, okay?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Make it a fancy little handshake, and they're like, "Wait, what's happening here?"
Or thumb war. Thumb war is a good way out of it too.
Yep. There are ways out, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to have experienced this multiple times.
And speaking of a firm grasp on reality, I'd just like to say that I feel like our predictions, or my predictions on who would do well in Worlds, have been turned out quite well. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, honestly, no one can deny me this because I don't remember what my predictions are. Same. But knowing the corporate LaZero that I am, Team Liquid, Team Vitality, Gen G qualifying, that sounds like zero picks if I've ever heard one.
It does sound like LaZero picks. It does sound like LaZero picks. but the Zero picks would be wrong. Liquid is only here because of placements. I'm not gonna lie. I talked about this last week a little bit on my thing, on my solo adventure.
Labs, before you get into this, do you want me to tell you what the other transition was? What was the other transition? Yeah,
<'Cause>, you want to do it? Good. Do it. You're gonna think about it.
Oh my goodness! If I can remember it now, geez.
You can't bring it up and not know it.
No. The other transition was like those two guys were as synchronized as, and then I just mentioned a team. That was the transition. Mm, okay, there's your meta for the thing. It would have been far better, you know, if we didn't go into individual things.
Yeah.
So Team Liquid beat them. What are you mad about?
I'm kind of mad that you mentioned the winners when we haven't even gone over the results of Wildcard.
I completely agree. I just, you put me in a tough situation, and I chose my transition going from a 5 out of 10 to a 7 out of 10 over the quality of the show. I just like you to know
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah. But then you're not taking my transition from the spoilers of who won the group stages all the way back to the beginning of the wild card. Ugh, hate you. You said we weren't going to be meta.
I'm just gonna sit here a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and I'm happy to laugh.
Listen. We're good. You're not wrong. I mean, yours was a normal transition. You know, I need some clever pun on the transition for me to respect it. You know, I think that's what it is.
I've never done that before. I never will.
You have actually. I believe the first time I got you to host, I'm like, this man's better than me. Okay. at this stuff. Why was I ever a host? I believe that was the first time you hosted. Now, the second time you hosted, you can tell you're over it. And the third time you actually got comfortable. So you're actually back in. But the first time you hosted, it felt like you had something to prove. That's all.
The first time I had something to prove and the first time I really cared. And then I stopped. Then I was like, you know what? I can enjoy this. I'm just here to sit and force the other person to host.
Speaking of forcing the other person to host, you forced me to talk about what actually happened in the wild card. So let's get into it.
Yep. Do you want to go into it or should I?
No, you should go into it.
All right.
I'm avoiding any meta mention right now, but now that I've said it, anyway, keep going. The whole time I'm like, don't say anything meta. Don't say anything meta. Don't say anything meta. The meta in this tournament?
The meta in this tournament, in this wild card?
In the wild card, yeah.
I don't even know if there is a meta. What I realized today while I was watching, after having watched today. Like 5 days, literally today, as I was Labs, watching.
That's your quote. I never thought you had a tagline or like an exclamation, but the way you say today is your thing. And it is. If we're making a t-shirt, it's just going to be today. It's that's all it's going to be with like a line in the middle. So what happened? What did you realize today?
What I realized today is that
it so much better than I do. Oh.
During the Carmen Core BDS game, I can probably I'm pretty happy to say that I can no longer actually follow what's happening in this game at a competitive level. So because I was watching it and I was just like, what are the, I don't know when somebody's going most of the time. Like they cut each other so much that not having comms just makes it so hard to follow what's going on from a predictive standpoint. Like, and you can look at it and be like, oh, that was a mistake. There's a double commit there. There's things going on, whatever. Like you can still look at all those like basic general vibes. But there's so much going on in the background and there's so much that like is a non-qualifier. Is that the word I'm looking for? That just like, I don't understand how you're supposed to be predictive to this game anymore. Or really understand what the overall metas are, because individual teams are playing so vastly different against each other. And
so do you think, so it's more a sense of like every team, depending on who they play so differently.
It's that, and there's so much going on and it's so fast and so fast paced. And the amount of fakes, the amount of false double commits, the amount of things that are going on. And when like when players of this caliber recognize like the smallest bit of space, you'll see every single person turn. And it's just insane. Like there's still one or two defenders, but there's the smallest bit of space that's like just barely opened up for nothing is like, oh, we have an out. And now all of them have turned. And you're looking at this like, where was the space? They're still on the ball.
It's like we've gotten to a point now with Rocket League where I think from what you're telling me here, okay, I think before there was an aspiration, or like when people talked about SSL players or pro players, there was a mechanical wall that couldn't be overcome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was this thing about the possibilities of things they can do. It couldn't be overcome, but there was at least the very least. You could see it. You know what I mean? Like you could see, oh, they did this incredibly mechanical thing, right? But what I'm getting from this is that the world they exist in now is different. And what we see as just, oh, a pro player bringing a ball up the field, the minute movement of some type triggers a reaction. Like,
yeah.
The other team is like already predicting, they're continuously predicting ahead, but now we've gotten to a point where even the commentators will see a movement and not be able to do anything, but the players in game have already felt a sense of, oh, this is a trigger, we can all do something now, because the list of possibilities that you can do has vastly changed because your car slightly went to the left.
Yes, like actually, because before when it was like, oh, just, you know, you get to GC and you're in the highest rank and like you're watching the pro play, then it was like there were very set plays. There was a segmented, regimented thing that you could follow. And it felt very sporty, like, you know, with Combo and Jared talking about the amount that it reminds them of hockey, right? Like one to one with hockey in so many different ways. I don't think we have that anymore.
Wabs, are you telling me? I don't want to say it, but are you telling me that Rocket League is in fact not hockey?
I don't think that Rocket League is hockey anymore. I'm saying anymore.
I finally won. It's taking me long enough. So it's volleyball, right?
Actually, maybe.
Wabs, I have said it's volleyball, but it's finally become volleyball. I feel vindicated.
I think that you were 5 years ahead of the curve, and when you didn't know what you were talking about, you saw the game 5 years ahead. Mechanical level.
I didn't, okay, because I actually watched, of all the things I did watch, I watched the women's and men's volleyball tournament.
Ooh, yeah,
like Nations League or whatever, and everybody can do everything.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Every single thing. Yep.
Every single thing. So there's a mechanical cap and it's just about faking your opponent out.
Yep. Like they've hit the mechanical cap and now you have to pretend that you're doing something while somehow getting full power in another direction.
Okay, here's a counter argument to my volleyball analogy. Like you can't hit the ball harder than anyone else can hit it in Rocket League. Like you can, but you can't, you know what I mean? Like there's literally a limit to how your thing. But like, I think what ends up happening in volleyball is you have the baseball predicament where it's like, if you just have a good pitcher, the guy just does it. So like sometimes in volleyball, it's like, I don't care what the right play is. If this guy's hot right now.
That's what it is. That's what Rocket League is.
Okay, this guy's hot right now, but like the difference is in volleyball, like he doesn't actually have to do anything different. Like if he's really hot, he just slams it down, like just
that's what Rocket League
game
is.
Hit.
That's what Rocket League is.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well,
like technically they're not doing anything different, but then going for triple resets for no reason, like literally for fun.
But okay. But that's not the does it work every time though?
Apparently it does. Cause if you look in the earlier highlights, who was it that did it? It was an insane, it was, oh my God, I'm trying to find it. Was it in esports? Oh, I may not find it. here. Who got this goal? There was a triple flip reset by Atau Oski, literally for no reason. There was already a demo with completely open net. Ball is falling in. He goes for the double reset and hits it and just gets like a banger top corner, literally for no reason, because he was just doing it because he was feeling it.
Okay, that's a little different. That's a little different than this, than the volleyball guy literally just saying, like, the point is, in volleyball, sometimes it becomes everybody on the field knows what's happening and is just going to this one guy and he does the same smash and it just works every time.
So it's not that. There's still like the mechanical expression and stuff, but I don't.
I think that what it is like, especially when people are taller, you know what I mean? Like, like when you're really feeling like you're in sync with your player, it'd be the equivalent essentially of someone like taking a shot and it going in every time, I guess, if that makes sense. Right. Like,
yeah,
there's never like been like
just perfect.
They're like, they actually have the ability to just get a point off it every time. Right.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you have in Rocket League. Like, I think you're limited by the physics of the game itself, where there are certain things like you can't just take a shot and get a goal every time now, you know?
Yeah.
Double touches for a while was that, right? If you had a, especially the lower league play, like you can see in lower league play, if you can just do a double touch off of anything, you'll just score, right? Mm-hmm. And so like that's what it was in pro play for a while, or like air dribbles in pro play for a while, right? Yep. Or flippers as in pro play for a while. But I think you've gotten to like a different end where you can't really do that. But when it comes to like predictive stuff, like I think the reason I felt I was right all those years ago was, and I think what people didn't understand, by people I mean combo. I don't know if Combo played volleyball. Like, he needs to tell me if he played volleyball, like at least at a high school level. But what you realize is it is micro prediction. And I think the reason I felt like it was close to Rocket League is because in that interaction, when someone sets and you're about to spike, there are both three or four like microseconds, if that makes sense, where both the blocker and the person hitting it are predicting.
Yes.
So, and I think that feeling is when I said volleyball was like Rocket League, I think that's the feeling that I'm mentioning, is that feeling of these like milliseconds to do all these like predictions is most similar to volleyball.
Okay. So I know what you're saying. I do still agree with Combo in that when you guys were talking about this, it was very much hockey, because you were looking at this from the specific aspect of shooting as opposed, and like maybe 50s.
But yeah. I broke out in the whole game and I'm like, yeah, you don't have to rotate around. You don't have to. I'm like, literally this one thing in volleyball is this one thing in Rocket League.
Right. Like, where older Rocket League, it was very much like we talk about like the 1-2-3, and we've talked about the 1-2-3 for so long, because of Combo, because of that hockey influence that we and so many other people in Rocket League have, where it's just the pure rotations, and it's like you can beat most other teams because you're rotating better. Like, you know, the classic no mechanics to GC. Like, it works. You can probably get to SSL with like quote unquote no mechanics, like be able to do a basic air dribble and just be in the right spot, hit the ball hard, all the other stuff. You can probably do that. Just base level SSL mechanics, right? The things that I can't do right now. If you can just do that, all of the basic stuff, then hey, you're going to be fine because you're rotating correctly. But over the past year, and I think now that like everybody's just playing so well and everybody's playing at the absolute peak because it's the final tournament, like everybody's putting on a show. It's different because everybody is just like, it's just mechanics. Like, you see different rotational things of like those minute decisions that are being made based on whether or not I know my teammate's cutting. And that's what I mean by like the, I need comms, because if I like, let's take, KC for example, cause they actually have a fairly strict, aggressive player, middle player that's going to just do
and
everything.
That's why they lost. No, sorry.
Where Exotic is just so far back and so much on the defense all the time, which he does incredibly well. Like I was thinking about it earlier today. He's just such a good defensive player that it doesn't matter if he has no boost. His basic expectation is to be able to defend a 1v3. Which is insane. 1v3 against pros as kind of your expected thing. And if you mess up, it's like, oh, well, my bad. like, that's just what he does. And what happens there is that someone like Itachi is going to be cutting him off. And you can see it happen a fair bit. And it should have been Exotic's ball. Like, in everything except for comms and everything except for them knowing each other's play, it should have been Exotic's ball. But then Itachi will just cut it, and it's like, oh, that was the correct play because Itachi can just do that. And they're talking to each other, and they know what each of them want to be doing, what each of them are doing. And like, it's so hard to watch without being able to hear what they're saying. Because I'm looking at it and thinking their rotations, their base level things, their positioning, all of this stuff. It's not the way that at all I would expect it to be at the highest level, because it's beyond anything that at the very least I can expect. But I've been good at watching these things, and I've been watching these things for 5 years, and this is now the time where I'm like, I can't follow it. And that's so, kind of it.
and like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I'll take CRL Rocket League, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. And people just kind of do what you'd expect them to do on ladder.
Yep.
And then here it's just, there are things where it's like, this feels like objectively the wrong play, but it's also the right play because one, they have the comms together, but two, because they do stuff like this, the other team isn't able to predict them as easily. Yep. Right. Yep. So it's almost like you should be doing stuff that is a little out of the ordinary. You can't. This is why Brock Esports had a upper limit.
Yes. Because only did the ordinary.
They did the ordinarily to perfection at the level they were at, and they far exceeded their individual capabilities because of it. Mm-hmm. But there was just a point where you have to be able to do something more than that, or
you have to exceed the expectations of the opponent, because the opponent will always be able to react to the expected thing.
And I would even argue that if you have two, like one team is slightly better than the other team, if you're both doing the expected thing, well, the team that's slightly better will always win. So like by default, like essentially the reason combo strategy worked to the level worked is because they could do the rotations
better than the opponents.
Better than the opponent. And what ended up happening is once you got better teams, even if they could do the rotations better, they can do the individual stuff more consistently.
Yeah.
That's super fascinating.
But now we're past that.
Now we're past that level where it's, yeah, it's one of those things where it's hyper predictive, in a very different sense than it used to be. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening, and it's bizarre to me because I haven't.
It's more enjoyable though. I would say I hate my worst feeling of. I mean, I talked about this on the pre-show a little bit, but I think the most frustrating feeling for me sometimes is when you watch Rocket League pro play and you know, like
15 seconds,
you know,
ahead
the thing that they're going to do before they do it, especially, okay. Like a 2 years ago, Vitality, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, Scrub Killer is going up the wall. I wonder what he's going to do. The same air dribble that he's done every other game. 20 times. You know, like, yep. It's oh my goodness. That's cool though. That means it's a more interesting broadcast.
No, it is. And like, there are still like the basic things and like whatever is like, oh, well, they're hitting it off their back wall. Well, they're just going to go for a flip reset and into a 50. And it's like, that's going to lead to another 50. But it, you know that all of these individual things are happening. But the thing about what they're doing is they're predicting where those 50s are going in a way that like I can't even pretend to be aware of.
Like if you'd have to be in that cycle, like you'd have to play, like, I think that's the idea, right? It's like in a vacuum, they've played thousands of games in that world.
Yeah.
Like it's almost an argument where like those pros shouldn't even play ladder.
Yeah. That's why they don't play threes.
Like they actually shouldn't play threes. Like there's no reason to ever play threes because it's no longer preparing them for the competition.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Like I
And it's also not preparing them for the speed. And that's why they play twos, weirdly, because twos allows you to be faster in a way that's correct. Because you're not in comms and you can't be fully comming threes against opponents that aren't fully comming. Like, it doing that isn't worth your time. And the reason that you play twos is because it's just like, it's the same level of speed that you would be playing, or like it's closer to the level of speed because you just take the space because you're not worried about the possibility of cutting off your teammate.
So with all this, maybe we can now transition back into the world tournament happening right now.
Yep.
The wild card. I was going to say, before we start here, which team do you think had the hardest run here through wild card?
The hardest run?
The hardest.
Space Station, not even close. Not even remotely close to anything.
100%. And they still managed to make it through, so that's wild.
And they made it through in four. Like, maybe Twisted Minds has an argument. Maybe.
Twisted Mind played a lot of similar, but no, you...
Like, but I don't think so.
Twisted Mind lost a crew.
They did lose to crew. They weren't playing well in
Moist.
That game. It's true.
I'm just super confused.
It's a weird one, right? It is. They've shown... Okay, the Battle of Mena that happened in Wildcard, like the Twisted Minds versus Falcons, that was an incredible game. I don't know how they lost to crew. I think they were just playing incredibly bad. But then...
They lost to the team from their own region. They're like, we can't. We need a full game, full series.
Full series to reset, yeah. I do think that crew was probably playing a little bit, like playing well there. I'll be honest, like it was Twisted Minds playing bad and crew playing well, and you know, crew took it on the day, which is fair. But yeah, like that Falcons versus Twisted Minds match was just incredible. That was a series of all time. But like, no, it's just Space Station. Space Station just objectively has the hardest one. They faced G2, they faced Pioneers, which granted not that much of a team, but or not that much of a team on the other thing, and then Moist.
Who had the easiest run here in Swiss?
The easiest run, I think, was Team Secret, surprisingly, to kind of turn that back on its head. Yeah, I might say Secret with that. because they had two hard matches which they lost, and then they faced two places or two teams from Southeast Asia, and then they faced Oxygen, who is basically not a team. They deserve
Let's talk about that. What
or top 24, but like they weren't gonna be getting out.
Well, like Oxygen is just what, overhyped mess or what?
Oxygen was never overhyped. Like they've always been a top 8 EU, which is like, okay, yeah, you're top 24 in the world. That's true. But they never figured out how to play with each other, even though like they should, like by name wise, you would expect them to do a little bit better. And that was just kind of it. Like, I don't know. I didn't have much expectations. Them going 1-4 is kind of expected. They also had a somewhat hard round, but like, I don't know, but they lost.
Is it just that? Like Archie, Jurors, and Ixo are all like world beaters individually, but they each should be on other teams. Like, is that kind of what you're telling me here?
It might
be.
Or has it
been a year and I'm stuck a year in the past, but like they're just no longer at that level.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what I'm wondering. And I could see that. Because if you look at the other EU teams, like you look at your EU top three with KC, BDS, and Vitality, like... I don't care who you're put, like which member of each of those teams you're putting up against any of the Oxygen players, like they're outclassed. They just are. And that's three whole teams in the same region. Even with Moist, like, okay, sure, you might have, I don't think there's much of an argument for any individual player going up against any individual player on Oxygen as well. But it's like, each of those players on oxygen might have the chance to do something with the right team. But this team just never worked out. And maybe if they really, you know, figured something out, if they individually started popping off and had like massive improvements, but like being a top ADU is still an impressive, being top five, I think was their placement sixth. And EU is like still very impressive. And well done to them, but yeah, you know, there's only so far you can go with that.
No, that's fair. Okay, is there any other things you want to talk about in the wild card? Things that stood out?
Massive grats to Elevate. They actually got two. They made it to the final thing, and they only got swept by Moist and Falcons, which is like kind of cracked. This is the best run, best show that we've seen from any like SA. SSA ever by far,
and that's actually wild. They lost to the teams I'd predict them to lose to, but they also beat teams that I would say relatively were on their level, if that makes sense. Like they beat those teams,
and I'm pretty sure the secret one, the final one, was like relatively close. I would want to find it, but I can't find the individual score lines, but from what I remember, like it was closer than by predictions it had any right to be. And you know, like massive grats to them. Like it was a big showing, really well done. It was good. It was just good.
Yeah.
Happy no, that's for awesome.
Yeah. I mean we've been like, are they like always, were they predicted to be like last?
Elevate?
Yeah.
No. This is the one that Elevate's the one with Virtuoso, Realize, and Kami.
Maybe it was the last major that
they were probably last or second last. I'm not sure. Where like they're on footing with some of the better teams. Like they're within that top 24 for sure. Maybe within like a top. I'm thinking about it. Maybe a top 60. Nah, maybe top 20.
But still, top 24 for a team that like the joke was that they were like mid to lower level EU players that are just like the region they could in. But like, no, clearly here it's like, no, there's a team here, you know?
Yeah. They haven't had much experience against these like actual higher level teams like Moist and Falcons, because like where are they supposed to get their experience? So being able to take like the mid level EU teams and, you know, take out OC, which kind of sad, but yeah, no,
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, everybody's favorite second team. It's not a knock, I just think that's objectively true.
Yeah,
there's just the crew that everyone's like, oh yeah, I'll cheer for them, you know.
You cheer for them until they're out, and then you can cheer for your main team, because like they're gonna get out, but like you're still cheering for them regardless.
That's hilarious. How about we want to talk some of
Have a couple Moist more statements on
Wildcard. Hit me with some other Wildcard statements before we get into the group stages here.
G2 going 3-0, insane. I don't know how they managed it. They were playing, I guess, really well. But like, they only struggled against Space Station.
Who's the team? They only struggled against the team I thought they'd struggle with, though.
Yeah, but they beat them. And I definitely put Space Station as a, outside of like their matchups, put them as a 3-0 team to get out like quickly, as long as they were playing at all and like were feeling it. So, you know, well done to G2 to do that at the very least. Falcons showed up. They just destroyed the entire entire
Falcons minor destroyed region. Everybody and had a tough team. I think Crew is playing above their level.
I do think that Crew is playing above their level.
Because like the fact they're even getting games off for some of these teams, you're like, oh, okay, this is not some like joke team, you know what I mean?
Wait, like joke Crew team is a good team. Like
no, but I think I've never rated them as high as they're performing, I guess, right now is my point.
That's fair. When I was looking at it, it's like Crew, Crew Secret, and so the thing with South America and the thing with MENA is that all of them are kind of three team regions right now, or at least they had been for the past year, with Crew, NIP, and Secret like kind of just swapping around. I think Crew and NIP were above, but then you have Rule One, Twisted Minds, and Falcons in Mena, and it's just like those three straight up swapped positions every single region. Like there was barely a deciding factor between any of them, and the fact that it didn't go to a tiebreaker is like kind of lucky for Rule One. Like it was a surprise. Like that was a three team region, and you have two of those, South America and thing, and honestly OCE as well. OCE was also a three team region that only got two spots. It's not surprising to me to see Crew here, because like Crew has been doing very well in South America, and South America is not something to scoff at. Granted, a little bit compared to like the EU teams right now, but like South America versus, I would have said beforehand MENA, or like maybe half of NA or half of the NA teams that made it through, I would be like, yeah, sure, that's like a solid fight. I don't know who's going to take it, which is what we're seeing in Group A later on. But yeah, South America for sure, very, very interesting.
Sorry. I know you gave me a gap to jump in, but then I didn't jump in. And then you kept talking, which is always funny to me. maybe there's a host in you yet.
Force someone else to do it. Force my guest to be a host.
No worries. Okay. Yeah, is there any region then, like in Wildcard, that you felt like underperformed, or is it all pretty much expected?
OCE not note? Having someone is surprising. Like
it's so tough because like with sorry, I was really aggressive there. Jeez. the Saudi Arabia, right? The region there, I feel like they've just become another powerhouse region. Like that's just kind of what's behind. And so they've almost jumped over, right, all these other potential quote unquote third regions. But like, I don't think you can really deny the level at which like Falcons and Swiss might, but I say that as like, you know, some of them, they might not qualify, right? But if I were to choose like a third region, it'd be that region right now.
No, for sure. Like I just fully agree with that. Absolutely. You do see, I don't know, there might be a little bit of an argument with South America, but I do think that MENA has the stronger play probably against like the, or like they would be the better region from what I would see. But I don't, yeah, no, I would probably say that MENA is the better region right now, than South America, but South America is still like very much a,
but isn't that interesting? Sure. Like I would say Sam has definitely jumped over OCE, right?
Oh yeah. No, OC is kind of liking right now.
Yeah. And now MENA's jumped over both of them. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, which I think is better for the sport in general, that like new regions come in. There's all these untapped potential. Yeah, we'll see if they contend. I mean, it would be pretty cool to have a third kind of bigger region, right? Mm-hmm. But I think we're there because like first it was just one team, right? It was Ocalid, right? That was really the player. First it was a player, then it was a team. Then we're like, oh, they have like a top two team. But now like I think you almost have to respect the top five, top eight.
I don't think they have a top eight.
Maybe not yet, but they will, I guess, is my point. Yeah. Right? Like there's a feeling that the fact that their top teams are doing this at Worlds means that hopefully when they play in the region again, it brings the rest of those teams up.
Yeah.
And I think as well, it's like if you're playing a region and you like you don't see any world success, you're kind of like, okay, well, even if we are the best team here, like I don't know if we can do this at that level, right? But if the team that you're playing regularly is now like a, let's just say one of the top four, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, literally, if I can beat, every time you play that team, you're like, I'm playing the fourth best team in the world, right? Yeah. So you're up your level and you feel like you're learning from the best. You don't feel like, oh, I have to go to another region or all that stuff, right? So.
Yeah. And just like to make that even more sure. Like seeing all three Mena teams go to the top 16 brackets, like to the group stages, and then seeing again both of the South American teams, plus Complexity, if you want to say that, once again make it to the group stages, is like that's kind of telling, right? Like
we're at a point now where the Sam and the Mena teams could probably beat most mid NA and mid EU teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Definitely. You know what I mean? Like I think that is pretty cool.
They would be rated probably around the top five, like around a fifth to fifth, sixth ish for pretty much any team from Mena for sure. And I would say like Crew and NIP probably have something similar. I'm not sure about Secret, even though I talked a big game
but
about
even, but like last year's Worlds, it was like the top 16 would have just been like, if possible, would have just been NAU teams with like one Mena team, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's no longer the case, and that's probably a lot healthier.
Well, Furia was SA at the point.
Yeah,
time. They moved.
It felt more dominated by those two regions.
And it did feel a lot more dominated. Yeah. Because now we're just seeing the EU domination, and the rest of the world is like, oh wait, we have to figure this out. And now it's the rest of the world instead of just NA.
Why isn't that so interesting? Because like I swear, when we had the time where like none of the regions could play each other, everyone thought EU fell behind.
Yep.
But it ended up being that they had the best team in the region, so it wasn't actually a problem.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about Team BDS? Are they going to do it again?
I don't think 1-2-3 is Vitality, and then either BDS or KCOR. I would after today probably BDS, but I think KCOR can do it for sure.
See, that's the thing, is like winners are winners are winners. You know what I mean? And if you've won major tournaments before, and you have that feeling of like, to wear Team BDS, like if they win Worlds again, like that's actually insane. I don't want that to happen. But from a legacy standpoint, I'm just
kind of shocked by that.
Well,
honestly, I would be shocked by that. I'm not going to lie. I think that they're the second expected to win. But what I mean by shocked by it is just like the storyline of BDS, because this is two of the teams or two of the players that were
one. We could seriously be talking about Monkey Moon just being the GOAT.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. You might even say Ryze at that point, though. Like, weirdly, you might actually kind of say Ryze because of like BDS was so lacking and so non-existent for the first two. And then they pick up Ryze and it's like, oh, they're the best team in the world.
Yeah. Or Mr.
If they win.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the Ryze on a slew of world beating teams.
Yeah. Like Ryze has been
that is insane.
Yeah. He team hops into the best team. Because either he finds the team or he's the player. Like
I agree. The reason I would say Monkey Moon is results, right? I guess that's
Monkey Moon does have the or would have
two at Monkey that Moon is gonna replace Turf. but BDS being the best team of all time is, and as long as Monkey Moon's still on that team, you can't consider it a different team, right?
Yeah.
It is a different team, but like in spirit, it's still the same team, right? As long as Monkey Moon is still on it. And I think you can definitely have a conversation of like, this was a team that came from nothing, played a game every day for a year, and just won everything, then won the major, then felt like it was falling off, but still won Worlds, right?
Yeah.
They were undisputed when there wasn't an undisputed, right? Mm-hmm. They're undisputed when you could actually play against other regions again. They were in favor to win and then showed up and won Worlds. And then they've they felt like they haven't been the top team all this year, but it might just turn around and win Worlds again.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're like, okay, is this better than the original Dignitas?
Yeah. So the reason that I would probably say yes is for two reasons. One, it's basically the same amount of time, I think. It's about two years
longer. Ish.
Is it
sorry,
longer?
Like if Team Beauty West wins this, they're because their best year was the year they didn't win a world championship.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense? Like their actual.
Yeah, it is longer.
Rise and like undefeated streak was a year of not having a world championship. So it's almost 3 years, I guess is my point.
Yeah. So there's that, which is like, yes, it's just straight up. But then they also would have to come back and be Vitality. And again, like Vitality, sure, but Vitality is Vitality. And like, this is the best team that's ever been made.
Right now, you're saying this objectively, the squad of Vitality right now is just the best.
This is the best team that has ever existed. I'm happy to say that.
Alpha.
Because like, nobody has ever won an entire set. Like entire thing except for BDS when it was like just when there wasn't Worlds, right?
I get what you mean. So like not from a legacy standpoint, but from like a purist theoretical standpoint, it's
yes,
like
just from like a pure there, like,
no one has done this, and these are just the three best players playing together on the best team.
They've lost and two games or two best of seven series.
This is the this is the best individual team, I guess, is the point. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Best run right now.
If BDS wins, this is like, you know how in superhero stories the villains will create the perfect opponent that's like, there's no way that they can lose. There's no way that this thing that we've created, which is like made in a lab, it's perfect. It has every single thing that anything could
have.
That's
ever what want. Vitality is right now.
That's what Vitality is. And if BDS beats that, then they're literally just the
in
main
the
character.
Grand finals.
In the, they're just the main character. And they're also the only
they're
place
also
they can
on
meet.
The other side.
Yes,
of
the only place they can meet is in the
Are
grand
you
final.
Kidding me? Dude, this they did it again, right?
Right, you're seeing what I mean. Did it again. You're seeing what I mean.
Regardless, if they're both in the finals, like that's
it's incredible. That's just like the best finals that we could potentially ask for. Maybe, well, no, even still, I would love to see KC in BDS because KC has to fight Vitality at some point to do it. But then, like, I don't know. I think that might. It's still a great storyline because KC and BDS
have
been there for so long.
Yeah, I think Team BDS and Team Vitality, only if both of them make it to the finals, there's a weight beyond the tournament that's there.
Yeah.
But then there's so many other teams that like could win it, right?
Yeah. There is, like, yeah.
Sorry, we didn't even talk about the group stage results, but you've now like hyped me up for the tournament,
right? Like this is why this one matters. Like why this tournament is so exciting, because it's just like you look at EU and you're like, damn, these are the best teams that we've ever seen at all. And like if either they win or if anybody else beats them, no matter what, like that is insane. It's not going to be FaZe. I'm going to make that call right now. I think they lose to Moist.
FaZe is winning the whole thing.
FaZe loses to Moist. I'm calling it.
Okay, you made me think of a story. Sorry, because it was in Portugal, right? And there was a story of because like if they face each other in the finals, regardless who wins, I think the story is just incredible.
Yep.
Right, either you beat your arch rivals that have been like claiming the top spot forever, and you are actually now just the undefeated, you know, or you know, the legacy cemented for BDS.
Yeah,
you but
beat
I
the
think
final challenge, like literally the final potential challenge.
Now I need to tell you this story just because you made me think of it, of like good stories that I think are hilarious. Mm-hmm. So. In Portugal, there's like a legend. There's like this king that was all like young and like ready to take on the world. So like he took his armies and he went to Africa, went to like, you know, conquer things for Portugal. Okay. And he mysteriously disappeared. Okay. And in Portugal, there's like a legend that like, oh, he'll come back one day and like the mist and the fog could just appear, right? This young naive boy that went off like with too much, with not enough experience and too much, you know, naivete into the world, right? And so he'll just come from the mist and like make Portugal great again or whatever. And then this is a tour guide like telling me this story, right? And then he's like, and then we had Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo has come from the mist.
The young boy came from the mist and like made Portugal, kind of put Portugal on the map again, which is definitely true, right? And then the guy goes, but recently we've also lost him, right? Like the last World Championship, Portugal lost, and that was probably the last time we saw Cristiano Ronaldo like play in the World Championship or World Cup, right? And the guy goes, and do you guys know what team he lost to? Do you know by any chance, Wabs, what team Portugal lost to in the World Cup?
No.
The team was Morocco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was coincidentally also the place and the country that that 14-year-old, you know, king from like 100 years ago also went and disappeared from. So,
oh my God.
I thought it was pretty, like, storytelling-wise, I thought it was pretty cool.
So Ronaldo is just the king reborn. He wasn't the actual...
Literally the king reborn, and he's also faded into the mist now.
Yep.
In the same, but I just thought that was great that like it was also Morocco. Hence, storytelling is great. Side tangent here. Speaking of storytelling, what are the stories to watch out for here? For someone who's listening to this, I'm literally listening to this. Okay, the name of this episode is Midway Through Worlds, RL Becomes Volleyball. Mm-hmm. But this is a Midway Through Worlds episode. What are the stories to watch out for here in the kind of remaining days? We have to go through the rest of the group stages and then we get playoffs.
Okay, rest of the group stages, both MENA and South America are guaranteed at least one spot in the top 10. Or is it 10? I think it's 10, which is crazy.
Here, actually, things to watch out for. Okay, things to look out for. Okay, so what is it?
Both MENA and South America are guaranteed a top 10 placement. And we'll if potentially both of them could make it into into that top 8. But we'll see if either of them do, because they have pretty, pretty big challenge. Actually, somewhat likely for one of them. But it's guaranteed for one of them almost. Yes, it's guaranteed
top 10,
for one of them.
Top 10.
No, MENA or SA is guaranteed top 8 because of Secret Falcons moving into the crew on the lower semis of Group A. So one of them is guaranteed to qualify, either Secret Falcons or crew. My guess is Falcons on that one. But so that's going to be exciting because we have at least some form of variance.
I added BDS versus Vitality Legacy storyline at the top of this list, but continue. Yeah.
We'll see how many North American teams come in, because if FaZe's mental isn't absolutely chalked, then another NA team's guaranteed. But honestly, there's a storyline of, is FaZe's mental just chalked? Like, that one actually matters. Are they completely out of it, and do they just not even win a single series?
FaZe's mental chalked.
Yeah, because they could very well just not lose this or not win a single series in this. They're up against Moist, which is like already a challenge as is, and they lost against Space Station. So that's going to be its own issue if that happens. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with FaZe. And then I think the Carmine Corps is already down in the bottom. If Carmine Corps doesn't make it to top 8, that would be the most disappointing showing that they've ever had. They're likely to. It's Complexity Ninjas or NIP, so like likely win, but that would be super disappointing if they don't. If they do, then that's not helping, because they're going up against Gen G, Vitality, and then whoever is the other grand finals thing. So that's a rough bracket. But the entire brackets are rough. I think everybody is just going to be insane. We currently have a a single player in the top eight from NA. We'll see if we have any more. Yeah, we have one player. I just had to make sure, from North America. And that's Chronic. So we'll see if NA has any representation.
Sorry. Oh, you're so funny. You're so funny. I don't think you meant to do that, but you're hilarious.
It is Chronic. That's true. Yeah, that was totally intentional. I'm very smart. So we'll see if NA has any representation. Moist could just completely knock him out. Space Station could lose to Twisted Minds or Rule One. Kind of unlikely.
Hey, listen, I say if Moist makes it in, there's some NA representation with Prof.
True. We do have Prof. At the very
Wow, you said that in an exhausted tone. Wow. You're like, I'm not having it. Yeah.
Well, it's just because there's no
But it's not the head, it's the added huff at the end of the head that really got me, is my point. What's wrong with Prof, Webs?
Nothing's wrong with Prof. It's just like we might as well say that Genji is NA at that point.
Yeah, you're right. No, I get it. EU better than NA, I get it.
Yeah, EU is better than NA. Liquid is making a run, kind of on luck, I'm not gonna lie, but like on
you're incredible seedings. Liquid is making a run. You're so funny.
What? I didn't get that. Hold one on.
No, it's fine. I was, the joke now is that like you keep having these puns that are funny. but no, that didn't work. I was hoping you'd say something like, what would be,
the water is streaming down the window.
Yeah, or like, yeah. Like,
there's one that I could say, but I'm not going to say.
Seamlessly flowing through this brag. I don't know. You'd have to get.
Okay. Yeah. So Liquid's...
you'd have to get far too creative to just say it randomly.
There's one that's doable, but it's not for this podcast.
The reason Chronic is funny is because they're like, there's no other way of you saying it. I think that's what makes it the most fun.
Yeah. So Liquid making a run because of they're just like kind of lucking their way through based off seeding. And we'll see how far that can take them. Lower semis round one. They're guaranteed to face the Falcons or SA, which is kind of interesting and kind of fun. We'll see how far it goes.
I think we have, how many more things do we have to look out for? Because I might as well just like name every match in this.
Like, unironically, kind of name every single match in this thing, because the whole top eight is just finals. Like, it's whole just finals matches. Top
eight is finals matches. Look at that. I got something for you. Okay, man, I think it was a solid show. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I hope you like this. I'm excited for this this weekend. I'm not gonna lie.
Wabs, are you sure you don't want to be on the show next week? Like, we're literally.
I want to hear someone talk about it. I've talked about this tournament enough. Who do you think's winning?
Who do you think is winning it?
Yeah.
I think. No, I'm taking it seriously because I say this like joke, but I actually want to think like.
Can you pick anybody else? Is kind of a, like.
Do you it's think Vitality? Vitality or BDS? It's right? Vitality. Like I would choose BDS because there is something about experienced players and experienced tournaments will overcome things that other teams won't.
Sure.
And this Vitality hasn't really won mm-hmm. when it comes to it hasn't won a world's tournament, least players, right? Mm-hmm. Am I wrong about that? Did Alpha ever win?
Not a thing. I don't think Alpha's ever won a worlds.
So Europe, regional, major.
No, I don't think they have. I don't think Alpha's won worlds. Gap.
So the only reason I choose BDS is if you have a player that's won worlds and has been dominant for so long, and then you have all these like players that have been all these top teams and performed. Like, I think just having Monkey Moo on your team, and performance aside, and Seiko gives you an up in a tournament like this, the once a year tournament that everyone's excited, all the pressure's on. All the pressure's on. But the reason I'll choose Team Vitality is
there's a really good reason that you could choose Vitality that you have no idea about right now. I'll be honest.
Okay, you can mention it in a second, but I'm going to say my predictable thing because I'm predictable. Mm-hmm. Is that winning teams win. Like, mm-hmm. I think this is Spain 2008, 2010, okay? And this, when you're the hot streak, but it's not just like a, oh, I've been beating other teams. It's a, like they're not like when Moist Esports and Space Station is not even on your level mm-hmm. in a best of seven. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like a 4-3 or 4-2.
No, it's like, it's dominant. Yep.
Like, we're talking about you're just currently in a zone that's different. That's what mm-hmm. it is.
Yep.
So I'll go Team Vitality. I'll choose the individual moment over the team that historically could win it because of, like, we'll say, experience under pressure.
Yep. What I'll say first is that because you took so long, I thought that this was going to be the first time that you ever chose against Alpha, and I was going to be surprised and call you out for that. So I'm proud of you for not changing your ways and continuing with Alpha.
I've never chose Alpha though.
You always choose Alpha.
No. I've always chose Team Vitality, but Alpha is my least favorite player from Team Vitality.
Yeah, and you still always choose Alpha.
No, I always chose K-Dop and Fairy Peak. Okay, come on.
So yeah, I would have been surprised if you chose against Alpha for the first time ever. But the reason that I'm gonna say Vitality wins, in accordance with your rules of winners win, is because of oh my god, why Pharah? It's because of Pharah. I think that Pharah is like a godsend of a coach and is doing so much for this team on that back line. And the thing that you don't know about Lazero is that I don't think you know about is that at the end of the last tournament, the spring major, that like the biggest reason that they ended up winning Vitality is because they got the crowd behind them because of the, hey, we are NA now. We're an NA team, cheer for us, by Pharah, by taking that North American flag, the US flag, by taking, flag.
Pharah has the glasses and he pushes them up. Is that right? What you're telling me, Wap?
He has the Keikaku. He knows what he's doing. I actually think that Pharah is going to be the deciding factor for Vitality, and we may or may not see it. We know that he was in the last one. So I think that he's going to be enough to do it.
What a great reason. Way to now I expect them to win. Right? not that expecting them to win is anything that's
it's not new.
An out there prediction, am I right? Nope. But I was going to say that I think coaches have become actually important.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, taken like 3 years, but like we're finally there. They can be on stage, they can give their tips, but it's actively being talked about on the broadcast, like mm-hmm. not just as a joke.
Yep.
So I think it's good points.
Yeah. So that's why. If BDS wins, I would be extremely happy because then that storyline that I talked about would just be so cool. I would love it. And if KC wins, I'm a KC stan, so I hope so. But you know, it's not gonna happen. That'd be insane if they beat out Vitality in the second round, if they, you know, when they make it there.
now the real prediction should be made after finding out if any suspicious soup or beverages or has the food been tampered with.
Kind of, but
what was that tournament? Which one was that? I just remember a tournament where like it was NRG, I think. It was just like, yeah, like somebody put something in our food.
Wait, really?
Somebody that was sick sneezed on us. I don't know. It was something like that.
Because I know SSG's had health issues in the past.
I believe this was specific. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. No, it might have been.
It could have been NRG. It honestly very.
Yeah, well, I think it was NRG. I think there was a tournament where, like, literally, they're like, "Yeah, I just the whole time I was on stage, like,
oh, I think I just remember
had to
that.
Run to yeah. the washroom."
Yep. No, I remember that. Yeah. So outside of tricks like that.
Yeah, Farrah's already got the diet pills. He's, no, you know who's got Farrah's got those all brand high fiber. You ever had those? Oh, brah. You ever having trouble pooping? Jeez.
Farrah's out there getting Taco Bell for everybody that's not on his team. Oh,
the ultimate. Yo, they think they're being nice. Nah, fam. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Thank you all. Your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to watch the finals and then have listen to me recap it next week of all people. Mm-hmm. I will do my best, but I'm hyped. Wab's got me hyped. Actually, maybe also tell people about this Midway show, because I think I'll even try to release it today. So literally for it to be fresh, you have to listen to it in like the day of, you know?
Yeah, kind of. I like talking about
I have
about
a show where we make
happening.
Things evergreen and you can listen to it anytime. No, this episode,
you need to watch
three,
it today.
4 hour listen cycle.
If you, okay. If any of those matches have started playing tomorrow, you've missed out on the period.
I mean, you can probably still listen to it tomorrow and be
I think
fine.
You can listen to it before the top eight.
But if it gets to Saturday, you've messed up.
Yeah. You've already missed out. It's too late. And now you've listened this entire way through, so you didn't even know.
You didn't even know. Well, you know what? That's going to be my promo on on X.
God.
Yep. I feel like an obligation to still post on there because it's the only like social media thing I post on.
It's the only way that's not Discord.
Yeah, that's not Discord or Instagram. Like, I mean, maybe I could just start posting on Instagram, but Threads.
Yeah. Ugh. So many new things.
I love that it's all just still Facebook. Like,
it's the exact
like it's all
same
still
stuff.
Meta. No, it's still the same company. I'm surprised that Meta didn't buy Twitter, you know?
It was a failing company. We don't have to get into it. It's too much.
Anyway, enjoy it. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Bye.